Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Thomas Scott India Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Danish. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Thomas Scott India Limited. On behalf of the company and Valorem Advisors, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2026. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and the information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Vedant Bang, Managing Director, heading the e-commerce division of the company. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Vedant Bang to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Hina, and good afternoon to everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you for joining our first-ever earnings conference call. As some of you may be new to our company, I would like to begin with a brief overview about the company and then move on to our operational and financial performance for the second quarter and the first half of the financial year 2026. Thomas Scott India Limited was incorporated in 2010 as a traditional apparel manufacturer and has since evolved over the years into a technology-enabled fashion retailer. The company has been formed through a demerger from Bang Overseas Limited with the vision of creating a focused retail and fashion business. Initially, we operated as a contract manufacturer for apparels from our Solapur facility for reputed domestic clients. This phase laid the foundation for strong product quality, disciplined manufacturing, and deep relationships across the apparel ecosystem. Over the years, we have identified an opportunity to move closer to the consumer and build our own retail identity. Building on the legacy of our manufacturing excellence, Thomas Scott has transformed into a digital-first, data-driven fashion company, integrating technology, analytics, and manufacturing to deliver trend-led products with speed and precision. Our plug-and-play ecosystem combines real-time data forecasting, real-time demand for inventory optimization, and rapid product launch capability. This build-for-demand model allows us to bring new styles to market in very short time, thereby managing inventory risk and ensuring high responsiveness to consumer preferences. Today, we operate 15-plus brands and 19,000-plus SKUs, including our flagship brand, Thomas Scott, and we also support global licensed brands such as Nautica, Aeropostale, and FCUK, through exclusive partnerships with marketplaces. Our products are distributed through leading online platforms like Myntra and others, as well as through our own offline stores in Bangalore for our brand Thomas Scott. With manufacturing units in Solapur, Bangalore, and Gurgaon, and 4 fulfillment centers across India, we ensure a high degree of control over quality, efficiency, and delivery speed. Positioned in the mid-premium fashion segment, Thomas Scott caters to aspirational brand-conscious consumers who value style and quality at accessible prices. We continue to strengthen our technology and analytics backbone. Our own platforms, Thread AI and Catalog AI, are now being actively deployed across product planning, demand forecasting, and catalog management. These tools allow us to identify emerging fashion trends quickly, gain pricing insights, and determine high-demand products, leading to better conversion rates and faster response to changing market preferences. Building on the strong foundation, we continue to focus on scaling our operations efficiently, deepening our brand presence, and leveraging technology to drive sustainable, profitable growth. With that background, let me now take you through the company's performance for the second quarter and first half of FY26. We achieved our best ever quarterly sales during the second quarter. Revenue from operations stood at Rs. 57 crore, an increase of 40% year-on-year. EBITDA came in at Rs. 8.5 crore, reflecting a significant 93% year-on-year increase, with EBITDA margins at 14.94%. Profit after tax stood at Rs. 5 crore, a robust increase of 68% year-on-year, and PAT margins stood at 8.26%. For the first half of the financial year, revenue from operations stood at Rs. 111 crore, an increase of 63% year-on-year. EBITDA was Rs. 15 crore, up almost 101% year-on-year, with EBITDA margins at 13.09%. Net profit for the first half stood at Rs. 8 crore, registering a 95% year-on-year increase, and PAT margins also improved to 7.4%. The strong financial performance reflects disciplined execution, improved price realization, and operating leverage gains from our scale and digital model. We continue to see healthy momentum despite a temporary slowdown in customer offtake caused by deferred purchases following the GST rate cut announcement. The growth can be attributed to higher sales volume and improved realization, which also improved the margin profile. By the end of the quarter, we witnessed a strong recovery in demand as festive buying picked up, supported by improved consumer sentiment and the GST rate cut coming into effect. Our own brand, Thomas Scott, delivered revenues of Rs. 22 crore, up 77% year-on-year, reflecting the growing strength of our direct-to-consumer franchise and improved assortment planning. The licensed and other brands that we support also maintain steady traction with revenues of Rs. 33 crore, an increase of 23% year-on-year, driven by healthy performance across key partner platforms. The contract manufacturing business, B2B business, contributed to Rs. 3 crore, growing 40% year-on-year, better supported by capacity utilization and long-standing relationships with our existing clients. During the quarter, we also strengthened our offline presence with the opening of a new exclusive store at Gopalan Mall in Bangalore, further enhancing visibility and reach in the market in the south. With this addition, our total number of exclusive outlets in Bangalore now stands at 6, each contributing meaningfully to our brand equity. Overall, the quarter demonstrated solid execution, strong brand performance, and a healthy margin profile, reaffirming strength of our digital, online-first, built-for-demand model and our ability to scale profitably in a dynamic retail environment. With this now, I open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jayashree Bajaj from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations on the great set of numbers. And my first question is, could you focus through the performance of your offline stores this quarter? Specifically, how have the six Bangalore stores trended in terms of footfall, conversion and contribution to overall B2C revenue?
Thank you for the question. So presently, offline or our stores model is currently in a pilot phase where we are testing out a slightly unique model. So it is at a base of six stores only, where we are trying to identify whether we are, able to get the same kind of return on capital employed that we are able to generally generate in our online business. So currently, the numbers are too soon to look at, but generally, there has been double-digit, growth across the board in terms of footfall as well as same-store sales growth. However, currently to comment on the numbers would be a bit early, considering that the offline stores are in a pilot mode. As the business grows profitably, it will be more meaningful to look at these numbers.
Okay. And in the presentation, you highlighted leveraging superior data insight to capture the seasonal demand, such as winterwear. So are you seeing higher demand for any specific licensed brand or for your own brand? And is there any new category or capsule collection is planned for launching H2?
Yes. So just to talk about our model first, how we operate is we identify trends by identifying what consumers are searching for and purchasing and where there is limited supply. So we launch for that. Thomas Scott brand is one of the brands where we have, very high agility. And because of that agility, we're able to launch very fast into the trends. So generally what we see is that the offtake in our own brand is very good and very positive. Over a three-year period since we have relaunched the brand, we have seen very strong high double-digit growth. And that momentum seems to have continued through to this year. Amongst our other brands, we are focused on premiumization. So some of our premium brands that we support in various models, such as Nautica and Aeropostal and French Connection, have also seen sizable uptick. This is broadly a part of the overall premiumization trend that we are chasing. So, that's to answer your question.
Okay. And lastly, could you please give us any ballpark range for the revenue growth or EBITDA margin for going forward that we can consider?
Unfortunately, at the moment, we are not providing any specific guidance. But generally, we have been growing at high double digits even on the sales number, and we are also working on improving margins as we scale. We will continue to, aim to have similar kind of growth in the future as well, at least for the coming financial year. And we are building up in that direction.
Okay. Any capex plan for
FY26? I'm sorry, I could not hear that. Can you repeat?
Any capex guidance for FY26?
Generally, our business is not very capex driven. It is more opex driven. There is continuous capex that we do to increase the capacities available to us. Specifically in our Solapur plant. However, it is not very sizable. It is basically, to add about, so that it grows at about 20% in terms of capacity, over the next 6 months. So that kind of capacity expansion and capital planning is there for it, but it is not very sizable at the moment.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jatin Agarwal from Manish J. Mundada and Associates. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir. First of all, very congratulations on a good result. So I just have two questions. First, sir, could you just explain me Thread AI and Catalog AI? You have said that it has been deployed. So could you just give me an idea of its working? And how much growth can you see, growth potential with the deployment of these two AI models?
Sure. So I'll talk a bit about the internal models that we are developing. So years back when we started, we've done things in a very data-driven manner where we have built models or we have built internal systems to be able to make data-driven decision-making. One of the decision-making that we generally do is in terms of what products to launch. In that case, we look at what kind of products are in high demand, what are people searching for, and whether supply is not available. We are able to see what kind of products are trending and what kind of revenue can we expect should we launch in that. Thread AI is essentially a application that allows the entire team to be able to work with that information in a more efficient manner through a user experience, like a front-end user experience. This allows decision-making to become even more quick in terms of which styles are working well and to launch very quickly into them. So currently, this model, even the other model, Catalog AI, is meant only for internal use. So we are the anchor customer at the moment for this tool. We have no plans to take it outside at the moment. But it is improving the overall efficiency in terms of how we are working and what kind of products that we are launching, and which also reflects in our performance generally. Now coming to Catalog AI, Catalog AI essentially places an entire workflow in terms of cataloging and permits conversion of basic raw images, maybe a model shoot image at a studio or even a mannequin image, into a full-fledged e-commerce shoot. So it takes as an input, a model wearing it, and then it converts that. The catch out here is that in the process of the conversion, it is able to identify what are historically cataloged styles that have performed well. And based on that historical experience, it is able to identify, what kind of catalog needs to look like. Generally, we have applied this in our kidswear segment for the brands where we do kidswear. And we have seen a good success on application of this model, resulting in improved conversion by at least 80 basis points in total. So, and that's against a base of, say, a 1.2%. So, 1.1 to 1.2%. So, generally, it has resulted in improved conversions, specifically in kidswear, where it is used very actively. In terms of other categories, the workflow is used and certain AI-based editing is carried out, but still, because the products need to look a bit more authentic, we've not yet gone into full-fledged AI in terms of how the catalog happens. So that's on Catalog AI. Again, this is also meant for internal use and for the use of participants within our company. Currently, we have not exposed these outside, we intend to create greater efficiencies within the company through this at the moment.
Okay, and when are we going to launch this for the menswear or like for the adult section?
So as I said, we already use the flow part, the workflow part of Catalog AI for all our sections. Only the part where we do AI conversion from, say, a basic shoot or a mannequin shoot to a full-fledged shoot, that component is currently restricted to kidswear. For menswear, some of the brands that we do are very premium brands and require a very authentic shoot. So it is not possible based on that to, deploy it very quickly unless the AI becomes that good. But as you know, with AI, the advancements happen at a very fast pace. So we are hoping that, as the model learns and as things progress, the quality of output will be acceptable even in the case of other categories. So we're just waiting for the quality to get there.
Okay, sir. And so my last question would be, sir, in this quarter, you have had a exceptional OPM margin for around 15%. Are we hoping to, be sustainable at this margins, or could we accept some fluctuations? And what caused this rise in margin?
Sure. So I'll take this in two parts. First, I'll just answer what caused the rise in the margin, and then I will talk about the overall margin profile. This quarter was a bit peculiar in the sense that what we saw was the GST rate cut being announced, after which there was deferred purchases. Our pricing models that we use, they realized that the customer is not price sensitive. Rather, I would say it's price insensitive. So the person who's buying is purchasing because they have to, not because there is a discount, not because it's being marketed that much more. When our models generally realize that, the customer is not price sensitive, we tend to start increasing the prices, the baseline prices itself, to be able to, maximize our margins in such situations. And that is one of the key factors, during this period. And generally, during the festive period also, it is more of a pull sale. So customers came with real demand for the Thera shopping towards the end of the quarter, and also the GST rate cut was announced. So there was another demand push that came from there, the GST rate cut coming into effect. So all these factors combined resulted in superior demand for our products, and we were able to command a higher price during this particular quarter. First, because our models increase the price considering that the customer is price insensitive. And then the effect of, the festive pickup along with the GST rate cut. So, yeah, that's on why the margins are higher in this quarter. Generally, our focus at the moment is on growth, is on high double-digit growth, growth numbers. And that is what we are completely focused on at the moment, while delivering double-digit EBITDA as well. Now, as I stated, we would like to reach a particular level of revenue over this financial year and coming financial year. And to achieve that, we may need to pull levers on pricing or on marketing, to achieve those growth targets, as the growth targets are the primary focus at the moment, while maintaining, double-digit EBITDA in mind. However, at the moment, I'm not able to give any specific guidance on what the future EBITDA would specifically look at. But yes, as I've mentioned, we target double-digit EBITDA numbers whenever, we align our business plans.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Ankur Gulati from GC. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Quick question. What is your H1 to H2 ratio normally? How does H2 is usually 60% what of revenue second half of the year?
Sure. So generally H2 is a better period for us than H1. Considering that we are a growing company at the moment, those ratios are not very well defined because we also keep looking at QOQ growth. So what you would have seen in this year, that despite us going from H2 to H1, there was still sustained QOQ growth that was there. Considering this, an increase in the baseline of the company itself, it becomes very difficult to attribute a ratio. But generally, and this is based on my judgment for the industry, it's about a 60% that generally, 60 to 70% actually, that generally, depending on which business you are in and how much of your business is in winterware, 60 to 70% could potentially come in H2 and then, 30 to 40% could come in H1. But yes, for us, it's a more evolving, item. So the ratios may not, as we keep targeting even QOQ growth.
That's okay, Vedant. I mean, if I set aside the aspect that you are still early stage growth, you are 110 odd crore H1, and let's assume industry works at 40-60. So your H2, whatever, if I assume 110 is 40%, so that's a decent enough goalpost for us to work, assuming this was a steady state company. Is that fair?
Do you have a follow-up question?
I'm just trying to confirm that let's assume you're a steady state company. So 110 CR in H1, industry usually is 40% H1. So even if where you are and don't factor in the high growth phase, your H2 will be 60%, right? So 1.5 times of H1.
So unfortunately, I'm not in a position to comment on specific revenue guidance. But generally, I give you the industry level numbers, and I think we are hoping to be at that or better that in H2 in terms of our targeting.
How do you guys define fulfillment cost? What all cost items are included there?
So fulfillment cost generally includes the cost of the product going from the warehouse to the customer. But right till the point of just the package being handed over to the logistic partner. So what that generally includes is the inboarding and quality control at the point of inboards of the goods that enter the warehouse. It includes the storage of the goods in the warehouse. It includes the outward of the goods from the warehouse to the handover point to the logistic partner who takes it ahead from there. It also includes the processing of customer returns or return to origin cases. and making the claims and if there is any quality issues in those cases. So so basically the entire cost that goes into running the warehouse generally is attributed to the fulfillment cost, but it does not include the logistic cost that we pay to the logistic partner to take the product from our warehouse to the customer, and it does not include any reverse shipping cost also.
So then what are the other? It's just packaging or something, right? If there is logistic cost system.
Yeah, so packaging is packaging is a consumable for us. So that is not considered as a part of the fulfillment cost. That is a separate cost altogether. That's a very fixed nominal cost that is there.
So sorry, again, I'm a bit confused. If it doesn't include warehousing cost, then what else is there? Why is it whatever? What else is there left? I mean, you're spending 920 rupees per unit, right?
Right.
You're saying usme warehousing ka cost nahi hai, to aur kya baki hoga usme?
No, it has warehousing cost. It has warehousing cost, but it does not include the packaging cost, is what I said.
And also doesn't include, let's say, whatever fuel cost your logistic guy is costing. Or is that also included in this?
The fuel cost associated with... So we don't actually incur fuel costs. We pay the logistic partners for movement of the goods from our warehouse to the customer. So they have a number of logistic partners that we work with.
That is included in this 19 rupees.
No, the what we pay to the logistic partner is not included in this 19 rupees. This 19 rupees is the fulfillment cost purely covers the cost of running the warehouse.
Okay. And because it is INR per unit, how do I correlate with the broader P&L? Where does it sit? Other expenses? Because I can't find number of units in your presentation. So
that would generally sit in our other expenses.
And is it fair to assume that this is a major fixed cost item in your P&L?
No, it is not a major cost for us. There are other heads of costs that are bigger than fulfillment costs. But fulfillment costs allow someone in the industry to understand the level of efficiency at which our operations are managed. From an e-commerce point of view.
Okay. So, in your P&L, cost of goods sold is whatever it is. Today, your employee bill is give or take 5 crores per quarter, right? So, is that a variable line item in your mind, or is it from this point onwards semi-variable or static number?
So the employee cost is... So there are two parts to the employee cost. One is linked to production, which is more, variable and linked to our supply. And one part is the fixed part where, as we scale up, we don't expect it to increase at the same level, So there is a fixed component to it as well.
So can you give that split between fixed and variable of this 5 crores and also the other expenses, which is, let's say, 13 crore this quarter and 17 crore last quarter?
Yeah, so other expenses are generally, there are the major head is marketing within that, marketing or commission. So that is largely, a percentage of the revenue, the commission part of it. But the marketing part of it is totally a lever. So it is something that we take a call on how much marketing to do based on what kind of events are there and how our revenue progresses along the period in question. So marketing costs are not strictly, fixed, but it is done with a view of an ROI on every investment that we do in marketing. So if we invest, say, 100 rupees in marketing, there is a view that we want to make 100 into X or whatever that ROI number is, depending on the brand, through that marketing endeavor. And when I say marketing, I mean performance marketing. Be it within marketplaces or be it on Meta. So that's the part of the other expenses that is a major part. But there's also the amount of coupon funding that happens as a part of conversion, which is also covered out here. Just to be complete, but that's again not very big. That's a part of the other expenses. Now coming back to the employee, the variable part of the employee cost. Largely, largely it is semi-variable. It is very difficult to, off the top kind of give a split into how much is linked to production, how much is linked to, the general scale of the business. Generally, the percentage growth in employee costs is not anticipated to be, anticipated to be slower than the rate at which the overall revenue grows.
Okay. All right. I'll follow back in queue. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Abhishek Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Vedan. First of all, congratulations for the great set. Am I audible?
Yes, I'm able to hear you. Hi, Abhishek.
Hi. Yeah, Vedant, I had one question on the inventories and trade receivables. So, what is our current inventory and the debtor days that we have, and how do we plan to reduce that, or what is our plan around that?
Sure. So, So currently, as it stands, we have about 71.5 crore approximately in trade receivables, and we have about inventory of about 77.1. Now, in terms of inventory, obviously the inventory increases are there to accommodate, greater sales in H2. So we are building up for H2, and that is reflected in the inventory. Along with that, it is very important to understand our cycle. So because we are manufacturer to customer, that is, we are truly direct to customer. We have a manufacturing cycle, which is typically about 30 to 40 days in terms of manufacturing. Sometimes for some products, it could be as high as 45 days as well. And then we have the sales cycle, where the finished good is actually sold to the customer. Generally, we target to keep that at about 100 days. What you will find right now is that if you annualize our revenue, you will find that our current inventories is lesser than the days that we have presently mentioned, which would be our general cycle in terms of inventory. This is largely because our supply is catching up with our demand, where we believe that we have a higher potential demand, future demand, but we are not stocked enough for it. So that's on the inventory. In terms of trade receivables largely cover what is outstanding to us from marketplace partners or partners who are a part of B2B2C transactions. Some of the marketplaces operate in that manner. So in those cases also, typically we realize payments in the case of successful orders within 45 days. However, in the case of returns, customer returns, those and in trade receivables till such time that the customer returns are received back. And other than that, so that also stands separately as trade receivables. Another important component of trade receivables is the outright business that we do in terms of selling our own brand Thomas Scott's products on an outright basis to marketplaces such as Myntra and Amazon. Amazon through, its major seller. So as a part of that business also, there is a certain credit cycle that has been negotiated. So in those cases as well, we have, some amount of receivables. So these are the larger components of the trade receivables. Generally, if it's not growing as fast or becomes more stable at a bigger base, we would find that the receivables would be somewhere closer to 60 to 75 days. I hope that
answers. Yeah, that answers. Thanks a lot. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thanks, Abhishek.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Irvin Neto, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Hello. You are audible.
Hello. Congrats on a good set of numbers, sir. So my question is, why has the working days increased despite we are using a tech-driven approach for inventory management?
Sure. So, if you see our inventory days on an annualized basis, they have generally been lesser than what it was in March, if you annualize our revenue, you know, for the entire year, or look at future numbers. But in any case, just to answer your question a bit better, it's very important to understand the cycle, the overall cycle. Because we are from manufacturing to customer, you know, typically we have about 30 to 45 days of manufacturing cycle. And then we have another 100 days that we target in terms of sale to the final customer on retail basis. So generally, this, you know, both of these components would come together and make up our overall cycle. Right. Now, so we are actually at a lower number than that at the moment.
Okay. My next question is, does the company have hold exclusive manufacturing rights for the brand? So for the licensed brand?
So some of the licensed brands also have offline presence. So in those cases, we do not. But other than that, for online, we are the major partner in that sense.
So my last question is, so the company will, what will it expand more in its licensed brands or in strengthening the Thomas Scott brand in the coming years?
So Thomas Scott brand obviously continues to remain a focus for us, considering that we own the customer completely in those cases, you know, so the lifetime value of the customer 100% sits with us. In the case of our licensed brands or, you know, other brands, in those cases, we are looking at focusing on the premium segment with some of the international brands that we work with and to see how we can further scale it up. So that focus will continue to remain on our side.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of K1 Faria, an individual investor, please. Wait.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are audible. Please proceed with the question.
Congrats, sir. Such a good set of numbers. So my question is, what is the company's annual marketing spend? And how is it going to help a company, given that there are a lot of competitors in the market that currently exist?
Thank you for the question. Yes, I'm able to hear you. So thank you for the question. Our marketing is generally quite driven. We do not do much of, you know, general marketing, which is more top funnel. We try and do more of conversion spends, you know, and we target a return on ad spend, on ad spends, a healthy return on ad spends on every money that we put into marketing. Essentially, it is performance marketing, be it within marketplaces or be it, you know, on D2C. What I was trying to get at is, generally, the marketing spends, as we are growing, are a bit fluid, you know, but we typically target to keep that somewhere between, you know, 7 to 10% of our overall top line, 7 to 10% of our overall top line. Sometimes we have to go more aggressive, but in those cases, our pricing is also higher. These things are very evolving. Since we are not offline retail and we are, offline retail is a much smaller part and we are majorly online retail, we are able to adjust pricing and marketing levers very quickly, almost multiple times in a day. Based on what strategy at any point of time yields us better results, you know, we could go in either or direction. And this happens in a very systematic manner, you know. So based on that, you know, it is very difficult to pinpoint a specific marketing number. But yes, we generally look at marketing to, you know, not be more than, 10% overall. But as I said, even if there are increases, it is ROI driven and you would expect better increases in the overall price realizations as well in those cases.
Got it. So another question is like, what's your long-term vision for newer categories like kidswear and handbags and women's apparel? And will it be B2B or B2C?
So our focus on other categories is largely B2C. Kidswear is one of the categories that we are seeing good success. Menswear, already we are seeing good success. The good part about both these categories is that both of these categories have lower customer returns and that results in better net margins for us. In the case of women's wear, generally it's a high returns category. So we are, doing some pilots to identify which part of this particular category, we could build for while maintaining healthy net margins. However, the exception in women's wear is, or rather women's accessories, is handbags. So handbags as a category enjoys better, lower customer return percentages, and hence it becomes a more lucrative category for us. We are looking at handbags also as a very serious category and see some good numbers out there. But our focus continues to remain menswear as we grow. And with the kidswear and women's handbags, so as diversification for us.
Got it. And what we can expect in terms of revenue mix going forward, or how much we can expect from licensed brands and Thomas Scott own brand?
Yes, so generally Thomas Scott would be between about 30 to 40% of the top line, and the remaining would be other brands. About 5% would remain B2B. That 5% could go to 4% as well. When I say B2B, I mean pure play contract manufacturer.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'll be back in queue.
Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Parth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Hi. I can hear you.
Hey, congratulations on a great set of numbers and hosting the first one call. My question is regarding the fire incident at the Gurgaon facility in Q2 this year. I understand it temporarily halted the operations, so can you throw some light on that incident, like the impact it had in the production and sales volumes in the Q2?
Sure. The impact that it had was primarily on our handbags category, because the specific facility in question manufactured handbags for us. Production is resumed, resumption happened in about a month. First set of resumptions happened in about a month from the fire. Generally, handbags is not a very high percentage contributor to our overall revenue. It's a developing category for us. And for the interim, so that there is no sale loss and essentially no production loss, we did outsource some of the manufacturing to other manufacturers within the same geographical region to meet the inventory requirements. So there was not much of an impact at the moment. There is some insurance claims that we have done and that is subject to an insurance claim process. So I can't hopefully that could work out well for us. But generally, it's not very sizable, neither in terms of impact to the revenue or the overall impact.
Okay. So is it 100% operational now?
Yes, it is 100% operational now.
Okay. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sanket Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I want to understand, can you give some color on EBITDA margins if we sell through our own brand and licensed brand?
Thank you for the question and good afternoon. Unfortunately, we are not able to share category-specific EBITDA margins because that is a bit, methods to derive it rely on a number of assumptions, which I would have to also then go through. But generally, you know, we, in the case of our own brand, we are experiencing improvements in the EBITDA margin as the brand scales and our relationships with marketplaces also deepen. In the case of licensed brands, we are focused on premium profile licensed brands, you know, in terms of supporting them. And due to that, we do have superior EBITDA margins in them as compared to our own brand, which is Thomas Scott. This is also due to the fact that some of these licensed brands are exclusive to, you know, specific marketplace. In the case of some of our premium brands, they are exclusive to Myntra. So in that case, the overall cost of doing business also becomes lesser because of those reasons. So that is to answer your question.
And can you share, is there any plan regarding launching of our own premium brand so that we can have a better margin on own brand? And regarding that, is there any plan in future?
So at the moment, there are no specific, you know, plans. It is an interesting proposition because we do have learnings in the premium segment. However, at the moment, at least for this financial year, we are focused on our own brand, which is Thomas Scott, and our other brands, specific with greater emphasis on the premium brands that we are working with.
And can you give some color on what is the is there in competition from large format store growing very fast like Zudio and all to online retail, and if we plan to expand in on offline like small stores, so what is the impact of these large format stores?
Right. So I think one thing very important to understand is that there's a larger you know tailwind in terms of movement from unorganized to organized or to branded, and within that you know the newer and the new age customer, particularly Gen Z or even in the case of you know the millennials, the later millennials, what we generally find is that they have greater consumer confidence in purchasing online in a very try and buy model, especially for you know the price points that we work in. Obviously, when it is the in question of occasion wear or something that is more expensive, offline becomes a preferred channel. But online in India, you know, right up to COVID, was seeing healthy you know growth. In COVID, there was a sizable uptick that was there, and a lot of new consumers came. Within the foray of online purchase, they made their first ever online purchase, and these customers have now become repeat customers, along with new customers getting added. You know, generally, online, you know, online e-commerce by itself is one of the fastest growing segments within the retail industry. So the customer who's purchasing online generally differs in behavior in terms of the consumer purchasing offline. So you know, it is I would look at them as different customer profile, different target audience, and different customer profiles. To be very honest, and both of these areas, the one that you mentioned, that format stores such as Zudio or even e-commerce online, are receiving very healthy you know double digit growth. So both are high growth areas.
And there is a question regarding that Meesho is very popular in Tier 3, Tier 4 cities. Are we selling in Meesho like, or we are planning to do something like to target Tier 3, Tier 4 cities?
So for from an online e-commerce standpoint, you know, our inventory, our products are exposed to all of India. No matter where you are in India, you can purchase our products. What we do find, is that some of the more branded business, rather, all of our business is branded, but some of the more reputed brands, you know, they get a lot of sales in Tier 2, Tier 3 India, but that is mostly a function of customer preference in general. We are not specifically targeting, you know, say a metro or a Tier 2 or a Tier 3. We are targeting certain consumer profiles. Now, the other part of your question, the other part would be the offline business. Offline business currently, we are focused on a specific geography, which is Bangalore. We have chosen Bangalore because our sales information guides us that based on our product assortment, we should perform well in Bangalore. And based on that only, the pilot is being carried out for our offline in Bangalore specifically. This is our current region focus. So for online, as I said, it is Pan India. For offline, currently we are focused on Bangalore.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ankur Gulati from GC. Please go ahead.
In one of the conferences, you referred that you are looking at quick commerce as well. So any movement on that side?
So we are already working with Myntra on MNOW. Myntra being India's biggest fashion platform, we believe has one of the best right to win cases in the case of quick commerce for fashion. We do work with Myntra and MNOW. We have also done a pilot with Big Basket, where some of the results are promising. The thing with quick commerce is that there is a certain amount of overall, investment that is required, not only in terms of inventory, but also in terms of other expenses, such as marketing, which may not yield it to be profitable from day one. Our focus right now is to have very healthy growth along with profitability, So in that case, even within quick commerce, we are choosing to work with those partners where we believe we can see profitability sooner or are profitable from day one, So that has been our focus. So yes, quick commerce is important. However, for fashion, we are working with relevant partners who are better associated with fashion at the moment. And generally, even from e-commerce, our warehouses do offer same-day delivery within metro cities. And they also offer next delivery, to metro cities and select tier 2 cities. So in that case, our speed is generally quite fast for a product, a fashion product, because generally, it is very rare, or rather the percentage is very small, of a customer who requires a very fashionable product at a very quick timeline, we believe that same day delivery and next day delivery by itself is very good to kind of achieve the customer's expectations on speed. And having said that, yes, as a part of our quick commerce bit, we have partnered, as I told you, with Myntra and MNOW and with Big Basket.
And on the handbag side, you have your own brands, or you are also licensed with one of these bigger brands?
No, presently in the case of handbags, we are working in a licensed model only. We haven't launched our own brand as of now in terms of handbags. And within this financial year, we don't expect to create our own brand in the case of handbags. But however, I just want to mention that in the case of men's accessories, we do make laptop bags, we do make duffel bags, we do make backpacks and other men's accessories within for Thomas Scott brand, which is our own brand.
So which brand have you licensed for women handbag?
So for women's handbag, we are working with Myntra for three of their brands, Anouk, Marston Harbour and Raspberry.
Last thing, if you can help us more, unit economics, is there the right way to look at business and number of units sold and contribution per unit, or not really?
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry.
So
I understand the question.
If you look at more revenue per unit sold and then contribution per unit sold, so if you can give us the number of units sold this quarter, at least we can work out that bit a bit.
Sure. So, as a part of our coming release, we will consider it internally as to how to present these numbers, because it is important to understand that because we work with so many brands, generally one unit sold of brand A is not equal to one unit sold of brand B. So just giving you a headline unit sold may not fully justify your ability to understand our business and give you the right level of transparency. So we have to think through the manner in which this is disclosed. So we will consider that as a part of our next presentation, because there could be certain brands that are selling one unit could be as good as selling two or three units in another brand. Just to give you an example, because we are in a multi-brand format, so we have to temper, think through what is the best form of disclosure of this essay as a part of a presentation, and then make it available to investors. But your point is well taken, and that is something that we will consider in any upcoming release that we do.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Meet Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead with the question. Mr. Mehta, you may proceed ahead with the question. As there are no response from Mr. Mehta, we'll go with a different participant. Our next question comes from the line of Mangesh Kute, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, I'm able to hear you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon and congratulations for great set of number. My question is mainly related to this use of artificial intelligence. So if possible, can you quantify the use of, investment required for the use of AI in the next 2 years, and what will be its impact on overall impact on our top line, bottom line, visibility, market reach, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. So it is not very straightforward to quantify the improvements. We have a specific case in kidswear where we saw improved conversion overall in the case of kidswear when we used AI-based catalog shoots and compared it to our previous catalog shoots. So we that is a model shoot. So we saw it move from, say, a 1.1 or 1.2% to close to 1.9 or about 2%. So that was a very well-tested pilot, and we were able to really look at those numbers, as a part of that. Generally, our investment in AI is, investment in our overall technology team or tech partners who support us in creating these applications. This is not a very sizable investment. Again, it's a 5 or 6% team that kind of does the development. But I just want to, while I'm saying that, I want to be clear that a lot of the things that we do even today internally, may not have a full-fledged user experience, but we are using not specifically AI, but more cutting-edge methods such as machine learning to make decisions on in terms of or in a more data-driven approach in terms of making decisions, business decisions within the scope of e-commerce. While we do not expect this team to expand very rapidly, we expect that the applications that the team creates, to be used by our organization in improving overall, conversion, overall time to enable us to more quickly identify the trends. There are certain other applications also which the team is working on, would result in quicker decision making in terms of what to restock, when to restock, where to restock, restocking questions. It will allow us to make pricing decisions very quickly, be a more formalized manner in which we do pricing decisions, and also enable business planning in a more efficient manner. So all of these things are being worked on internally. It is not very straightforward to quantify this, but as you see improvements in the overall numbers, be it in terms of top line or in terms of margins, you could say that some of the efficiencies and improvement in numbers are being contributed through our investments in technology. So that is to answer your question. Thank you.
Thank you for this detailed response. May I continue?
Yes, sure. Please go on.
Yeah. So nowadays, this use of AI is almost present everywhere. Every company is trying to do it. So do you see that other our competitors will also try to use such technologies?
So generally, the information is available. Some of the information is available. Some of the information is very explicitly available. Some of the information is something that we derive through our methods. Just gathering information is not enough. It is also important to backtest that information based on actual actual sales, actual revenue, actual product based decision making. So we have the, since we are sellers directly on most marketplaces, we are able to very quickly backtest a lot of the decisions that we make using this, and we are also able to make these models learn from our past experience, which is solely available to us. Those things, differentiate us. Other than that, it is very important for something like, for example, trend identification. There are multiple companies, agencies, you'll find a lot of startups as well that are able to, say, do trend spotting or trend identification, each one having its own claims. But the real, proof is in the ability to not only identify the trend, but also execute on it very efficiently. So our manufacturing legacy allows us to work on these identified trends and launch into these identified trends quite efficiently. So it does help us. The manufacturing piece also helps us and plays along with our superior insights. So there are certain peculiarities in terms of how our company is, and that kind of allows us to make sure that we are able to make a full use of whatever tools and technologies that will.
Yes, thank you, and best of luck. And I hope that this practice of conducting con-call will be continued. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comment. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Sure. I would like to thank all investors and other participants who have joined our first ever earnings conference call. While we have endeavored to provide as much information as possible that you have asked us, we are very glad to have had you on this call, and hopefully would enjoy similar or even better participation in future calls. So thank you very much to everyone for joining this call today.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Thomas Scott India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.